Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I almost just flubbed the fourth word in the show. This is going to be great. I'm having a good time. I hope you're all having a good time. With me, as always, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
And I feel not good.
You feel not
Steven.
Good? Okay.
See, and that's an Elaine quote.
I don't think I introduced myself. I'm Steven Fontana, by the way. This should be a good one. This is going to be real fun, ladies and gentlemen. This is a treat for everybody. So we have Ivan Dixon.
A little wild.
And Jacob Janerka. And they just pitched Seinfeld Adventure. It is exactly what it sounds like. A Seinfeld adventure game. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for asking us to come on.
Well, we
couldn't. Good day.
Yeah. Good morning, guys.
Yes. Good morning. Yeah,
you guys all the way from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Join us on the show.
Yeah, I guess
we do enjoy being in the future. We're like three steps ahead of you.
What's it like over there? Is everything like back to normal over there? Or because it's tomorrow? No, we still have a long time to go.
Things still on fire?
Yeah.
we're still
fire,
inside.
The fires are out. The apocalypse has just begun, though.
Got it.
Yeah,
got it. That's
unfortunate. We're looking forward to repurposing all our sports gear into post-apocalyptic costumes. Nice. I've already got mine.
Mm. Out of the fire, into the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. We're preparing for the killer bees. I don't know if you've heard that one yet.
Murder hornets. Get it right.
We're ready for the big giant
different
hornets.
Species. All right.
Murder hornets.
You don't want to upset them because right. There's murder hornets.
You don't want to insult them.
You think they're a bee.
For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens Podcast, this is an interview show where Andy and I bring on industry guests to tell us their story and to tell us the projects they are working on and all about their careers, whether they be voice actors, writers, programmers, directors, who the hell, it doesn't matter. They have a story to tell, and we want to be the platform for them to tell their story. The Dual Screens Podcast posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home at podbean.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts. And if you do listen to it there, please leave a review. It helps the show get seen by more and more people, the more and more reviews you have. So if you like what we do, don't be a dick and go review it. Thank you. Anyway, and share it with your friends because we love that too. Was it a couple of weeks ago now? This little pitch came across, this little video came across all of our collective computers all at once, and it made so many people happy to see that it was even thought of to be a thing. And that was this pitch for the Seinfeld adventure game. Gentlemen, what the hell are you thinking?
We just really wanted to feel what it's like to be in the American law thing. And I forgot
inviting
what
lawsuit what
the law system, the American law system, that was I was trying to say.
Got it.
Because I really wanted to feel like what it's to be sued for millions of dollars. It's kind of been a dream of mine for a while.
It's incredible. It's an incredible thing. Like, I feel like there's the IP that you chose, which is so protected by so many very, very powerful people, yet I feel like it's really one of those that you could probably get away with doing just because it's Jerry Seinfeld. And I feel like he would have like a sense of humor about something like this. Did that have anything to do with why you picked this thing, or is it just whatever? Let's just see if you'll throw spaghetti at the wall. We'll see if this thing sticks.
Honestly, I think it's just so close to Jacob and I's heart. Like, it doesn't feel like work making something like this. It feels like fun because we both love the show so much. If we wanted to have a better stab at making something, we'd choose something that's popular and on air right now. You know, we'd make Big Bang Theory, the game, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh God, no!
If we got that somewhere, there's one of those somewhere in like a Target.
Yeah,
Target or Walmart has that. That's where they have all the CSI video games, which I bought one once when I was a kid. Never again.
I think it's overdue, actually, for this to happen. Because we've had games based on home improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awful. That's So Raven has a video game.
That's So Raven, yes. And
so
Wayne's World has one as well.
Yeah, I can't live in the world where there's no Seinfeld game where those other games exist.
We kind of envisioned it as, like, you know, there are all these terrible tie-in games, cash grab tie-in games. And the 90s was ripe for that. Like, there were so many games like that. I remember getting swindled. I bought, like, a Rugrats game that was just terrible as a kid. I thought this would be fun. Wrong. So we're kind of riffing on that a little bit. We hope Jerry has a sense of humor about it, but I don't get the impression he's a big gamer. I don't think there's any evidence that he likes games. He likes cards, likes coffee.
He does.
Comedians.
Well, the thing you saw that Magic the Gathering was on in his office.
Oh yeah,
it was
at the end of the season.
An episode from the last season, because you know, we can watch Seinfeld in HD now, or pretty close to it. And I saw on his desk was Magic the Gathering, a box of Magic the Gathering, which is so nerdy and surprising for Jerry.
you wouldn't think that would be a thing.
No, I can't really, but you know.
Well, yeah, you could totally say he's like a huge fan of like Superman and stuff. Like,
yeah,
he's a comic nerd. I mean, there's an overlap there with comic books and games. Yeah,
and he likes cartoons as well. Like, there's that whole episode where he talks about like he just likes watching cartoons.
That's true. Yeah, he likes Nick at Night. So he's just a big kid. So maybe he'd be into this, but who knows?
So plus, go ahead, Andy.
I was say, when he sees himself in this gorgeous pixel art, how could you resist having this become an actual game?
I think it works if you have nostalgia for that period. Like, if you played those games, yeah, you would see that as cool. But some people see that as as old graphics. You know, that's not good. You know what I mean?
I think for the most part, though, like, even at least I was seeing so many comments which were just like, I don't even like Seinfeld. I don't even like point and clicks, but I want this to happen. Like, I feel like
I don't even like Jacob Junaka. I hate him.
He's just the worst game.
Paradigm was shit, but I'll play this game.
I could picture it.
Hope
now.
He doesn't have anything to do with writing. Like, I hope he's just like a manager or something. He's just funding the game.
I'm glad you mentioned writing, because I feel like something that was written so perfectly, which was a show about nothing. How do you put that on your shoulders to make a game version of the thing about nothing? Like, that's got to be a lot of pressure.
We just have delusions of grandeur.
Yeah. we just have these huge egos that we built up over time working in an industry, and we thought we were the ones to make it.
If you think you can do it, you just say you can do it.
to take it seriously, it was intimidating. Like, that's one of the reasons why I actually got Ivan on board. And like, other than like we both loved it, like, one of the things I knew personally, I was like, this, I can't just write this myself. Like, I need someone to bounce ideas off on the show. And Ivan has had heaps of experience, and he's also a friend of mine. So we definitely were going for that process. But I don't know if you saw in our pitch, but we were talking about hiring like the original writers and getting some sort of feedback through that way to kind of like make it more authentic.
That would be the dream scenario.
Yeah, the dream scenario.
That we kind of do the outline and we run it by even just a couple of the writers. The original writers would be amazing, just to get that extra kind of authenticity.
Have you guys seen that Twitter account that does Seinfeld today? It's like all the things.
Yeah,
that
Seinfeld 2000.
Something like that. It would be like all the shows that what they would be about now. Like that could be a clever thing to kind of tie in. So I do want to ask, because the impression I got from the trailer is that it's not, I don't want to say procedurally generated, but like it just changes. Like, you just kind of just pick different things and different shit happens. And then you just turn the game off, come back on, it's a different episode. Like, or is it like one story you're playing through?
It's more like episodic. So I know in the pitch, we show the selection screen of the different characters, but in reality, the way we envision the game working is it's one story per episode. You can play as different characters in different scenes, but it's one narrative that weaves through it, just like a regular episode of the show. So things you do as Jerry will have effect for the next level or scene that you play as George. But it's not this open world kind of Red Dead Redemption style game you might be thinking of.
Do you set the scenario ahead of time?
Sci-fi roguelike.
Pardon?
Do you set the scenario ahead of time, or do the players just kind of mess around with choices and then everything kind of just dominoes from there?
It's if you read the, we've actually got an outline for the first episode on the pitch site.
Nice.
So it would be very structured like a show. Cool. But you get to play within the scene. You have conversation options and interactive options, and you might be stuck in Jerry's apartment for 20 minutes trying to solve a puzzle before you move the narrative along enough to leave and go to the cafe and talk for an hour.
Gotcha.
That's, I think, do you have anything to add to that, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of like a regular point-and-click puzzle kind of stuff, but it would be taking a lot of influence from stuff like Life is Strange still and some of the more modern adventure games in terms of some of your choices influencing part of the story. It's not like this crazy overarching different plots and stuff like that, but it would be just like affecting parts of like how the characters see you or like how the ending will completely play out and that kind of stuff.
Got it.
I'm trying to envision how some of these in-game items would work, because on a single screen here I see the Fusilli Jerry, the black and white cookie, the Pez dispenser, the muffin top, and the Junior Mints.
Yeah.
with the marble rye in the background. It's a nice touch, by the way. Like, how would you use those? Because a lot of these items were like episode centric.
Oh yeah.
I think those inclusion of those in the inventory were more fan service showing.
Okay.
I mean, part of the reason we think the show gels well with the genre of adventure games is adventure games were one of the only kind of games that are comedic in nature. So that matches up nicely. Also, a lot of the time the puzzles are conversational based, and like Seinfeld, most of the show is just characters sitting around talking. And the other great thing about Seinfeld and adventure games is there's this focus on props. Like there's often these reoccurring props that form the whole narrative of an episode of Seinfeld, like the items you just mentioned. So it's this nice kind of relationship the show has with point-and-click adventures.
Yeah, totally. Ivan's exactly right. But there's like a few things like one of the ideas I had with the cookie, it would be like the UI item for like hints in game, because you have to look to the cookie to know like what to do next in the puzzle.
Look to the cookie.
I thought if you haven't read it already, we could read the plot for the first episode. If you
please want. Please do.
Oh yes, okay. Go ahead. That'd be great.
So episode one, the email. Jerry is dating a publicist who accidentally reveals his email address to Kenny Benya through a group email. She accidentally CCs instead of BCCs, and that's a whole scene. Now Benya fills Jerry's inbox with a flurry of spam emails asking for feedback on his new stand-up set. Jerry decides to break up with the publicist over this, but he doesn't want to deal with the interaction face-to-face. Kramer suggests ending the relationship via email and avoiding it altogether. Jerry does this just before Elaine reminds him that the...
No, just in the middle of...
There we go.
Did I disappear?
Yes.
For a split second, yes.
I was getting a call. Sorry. Jerry does this before Elaine reminds him that the publicist was supposed to get them all tickets to the opening night of the new movie Rochelle Rochelle 2.
The Reckoning, obviously.
George devises a plan to corrupt Jerry's girlfriend's computer before she can read her emails so that they can still collect the tickets. Kramer says he knows who can help. Someone with a sworn vendetta against email. Someone who has devoted their whole life to analog mail and sees email
straight
to his livelihood. Newman. Someone named Newman.
That's gold, Jerry Gold.
So there you go.
So how do you make this game happen? Because anybody could just make a pitch, if you get what I'm doing here. It's really about the holding on to the promise. That's the most important part. So what's
well, this
steps-
is, let me be clear, this is the game. Okay?
Oh no, I get it.
This is the game.
How do you get this to happen and not blow up in your face? So
just it just exists in your imagination. That's like all we all we're hoping for. No.
I wonder, is there like some sort of rule or law or whatever that if like you're not charging for this thing, like I don't know how this works.
We originally considered producing the game or a demo for the game, you know, off our own backs and just releasing it. That was one of the plans originally. However, Jacob and I realized that could take a year of our lives to make. Mm-hmm. And then we put this thing out there and immediately it gets taken down. So why don't we make a trailer that makes it look like a game, gets everyone jazzed for it. We can leverage that to try to make the real thing. And look, if it never happens, this exists out there as this kind of short film almost.
But yeah, definitely. And also they can sue us if we made the game, even releasing it for free. so there are like copyright laws where if you release the free game, even though it's free, you're not making any profit on it, it's still infringing on the IP. And if they choose to, they are in their full they have full permission to basically sue you for potentially damages on their IP. But that doesn't happen very often. You'd have to really piss them off, right? And you'd have to, like, generally they would probably just send you a takedown notice and then that'll be the end of it, and you sign a NDA kind of thing. But this is like what I've just been told from lawyers who deal with this stuff. It's like there's no like article out there or something like that tells you exactly what happens.
We know someone who made, so Mario Sky was an example of that. Someone made a mashup of Mario with No Man's Sky, released it, became really popular, got taken down. But that's Nintendo, and they make games, so I can see why they'd have an interest in stopping anyone making a game that might, you know, be reflective of a game they're in development on, for instance. So I think there's less of a risk with this. It's just, do we really want to spend a year of our life making something that could disappear instantly? So,
So describe for us what makes Kramer so uncontrollable. why can't we tame that beast?
Well, I think narratively, you look at it, his role in the show, he floats through life, doing no work at all. Everything seems to work out for him. We felt he would be better served as a character that is a chaotic influence on the other three characters' scenarios rather than a playable one. I think he's an enigmatic, he's an enigma, what do they call it?
He's a hipster rather than a Twinkie.
So, yeah, I mean, that was just a creative choice. We feel like Jerry, George, and Elaine are the ones you kind of empathize with a little more, whereas Kramer's this uncontrollable, zany, crazy man.
He's a wild card.
He's a wild card. And I think we're not saying you'd never get to play as him, but we feel like he would be better served as an NPC.
What about other supporting cast members? Will they crop up along their adventures? Will we see the Uncle Leo? Will we see, you know, other fan favorites pop up every now and then?
I mean, we've got to meet Frank Costanza, obviously.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to have, like, you know, like just like the show, depending on the episode, they'll definitely pop up. And, you know, there are some certain characters like that you'd want to see, but also might be like conflicting with narrative, like the soup Nazi. It would be like, I've drawn a pixel version of him for it, but it's like, what kind of narrative can you bring him back about being too fan service-y? You know, like maybe he's in the background somewhere.
my dream would be to have every NPC that's off screen that you don't see voiced by Larry David, just like the show.
Oh my God.
You know, you just hear him yelling in the background, "Get off the stage!" It's always him.
Mr. Which Sorry,
you don't realize until you've seen Curb, but then you can recognize his voice and you hear him.
Yeah, and you see him as well, like the cape guy as well.
Yep, he was Frank's lawyer.
Yeah.
And he was the guy with the lips on the $20 bill.
Yep,
your Majesty. You know, because that bill's with lips on them.
He was on the TV when Jerry like woke up in the middle of the night and wrote scribbles.
The flaming glows of Sigmund. Yes,
exactly. Yeah, I think if they're in the cinema and somebody yells, it's always Larry. He's Jerry Steinbrenner or whatever, the baseball guy.
Oh yeah, that's right.
George Steinbrenner. Yeah,
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot that.
George Steinbrenner. Yeah.
George, you need to get my calzone.
Want the next
George calzone? I love this calzone.
So good. Oh my god. All right, where the hell am I? I'm lost. Well, that's a good place to transition to the next thing.
Yes. You do that.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay, Andy. I got a couple of written questions here that I want to ask.
Yes, there's some good ones too.
Yeah, we got some good ones here. First, is soup a meal?
Depends on the consistency. Does it come with some bread?
I think most soup comes with some bread.
Did
right?
you crumble any crackers?
Is it a Vietnamese pho? That's a soup. Doesn't come with bread, but it's a meal.
I like it.
I'll definitely say meal for sure.
How about this one? How do you turn down apple pie without looking like a complete psycho?
These are hard-hitting questions, guys. You
yeah, they
know
are.
The
this is it.
I feel like I mean,
these are the ones that will come from class. Jerry himself at some point. So prepare yourselves now for the inevitable meeting with him and NBC. It's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to ask us our favorite sneakers.
I could just kind of picture it now. Like the two of you guys all like super jazzed to do your Skype call with Jerry Seinfeld or whatever the hell it'll be, because we probably won't be able to meet face to face anytime soon. And like he's in the thing and he's like, "All right, go." And you're like, "Well, it's a show. It's a game about a show about nothing. It's about nothing. That's right.
We would love at some point if we get to make a series of these games, we'd like the concept to come full circle and do an episode of the game where Jerry and George pitch a game based on Superman, and they try to make their own Superman game.
Yeah.
that's like so beyond meta at this point. It's
like John just playing 10 layers the deep. Nintendo 64 Superman game.
Right.
And it's just
Jerry,
I can make a better game than this. This
Jerry
is garbage.
Would buy a 64 just to play that shitty Superman game. And he'd complain, "This isn't Superman."
I know Superman.
I have never known Superman to fly through a ring.
What's the deal with this shitty game?
He's throwing cars at people. Okay. Buzz Killington asks, is Bob Sacamano in the game?
So we had a conversation about this because Mark Hamill retweeted the game link. And as all of us know, Mark Hamill is an awesome voice actor.
Yes,
and
he is.
And Jacob and I were suggesting, well, if we get the game, you've got to voice a character. And I suggested Bob Sacamano.
Yeah, it would be incredible.
If not that, have him do the voice of Mr. Marbles in some sort of nightmare scenario.
Have you actually seen Sinfeld?
Yes, I have.
They have Mr. Marbles in
yep.
it at the end.
And that is pretty horrifying. That's nightmare inducing.
Peter S. asks, will we be able to find Drake's coffee cake as something like a power-up in the game?
Drake's coffee cake. Love the Drakes.
Oh, that's another reference. You're good. You are good.
Maltese.
You are really good.
Maltese asks, where is Crazy Joe Davola?
We may.
It's the only part of the game where you can die.
Kick to the head, boom.
If you didn't pick up the helmet in the first level, you're fucked.
Now is he in full clown regal at this point when he sees you?
Maltese also asks, when you see someone you know, like Uncle Leo, do you say hello?
Well, if you don't, there's some repercussions.
Well,
your mother calls you. There's some big social.
I think he might be asking literally in the game if you see somebody you know. and you don't say hello.
if he's robbing a bookstore, you don't have to say hello.
It's a stealth game where you have to avoid people.
Avoid Uncle Leo.
You know, maybe there's
a whole side quest about getting kissed on the face as well. You have to avoid the kisses, the incoming kisses.
Right. No, the kiss hello. You know, I've flagged many books in my day at the old bookstore. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Who hasn't?
I think we all have. It's not a big deal.
I mean, everyone's phone is flagged, surely.
One of the first ideas we actually had for one of the episodes that we were going to use in the pitch, like when we first started talking about it, I was pitching an idea that we never really didn't go for because it was too abstract. Like, it didn't really fit the Seinfeld kind of formula. But basically, the diner was being robbed by someone wearing a balaclava. And he gets the money, and then he leaves the diner, and then he takes off his balaclava, and then he walks off. And then George ends up walking to the diner, and he's like complaining because he's really cold because he left his Gore-Tex jacket at home. And he sees the balaclava, and then he puts it on. And then the police come, and they've been reported someone wearing a balaclava robbing the diner. So George gets put in jail, and then like the whole game is just you trying to break him out of jail. but we found that was just like way too
that's too much of a
surreal
plot.
Yeah. Right.
It's about something now.
Yeah, something happens that can't be right. That can't be right. No. It is kind of weird how many attractive women he breaks up with in that show.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's like so many women that George is with where it's like, I don't know, man. Like, the whole show, he's built up to be like really insecure and like not that
like
great.
Like a loser, yeah.
And then unemployed, he gets like this beautiful woman.
You know, bald.
I think that's just the reality of casting in LA. Like,
yeah.
I went to
during that time
LA
anyway
once, and I was wandering around. I had a meeting at a studio lot, you know, where they film stuff. And I'm walking around, and I'm starting to feel really insecure. I'm looking at who are all these beautiful people everywhere, and then I realize, of course, they're coming to auditions, and it's the most beautiful people from the country or the world. Funnel into LA to try to make it as an actor, and if they fail, they try to make it in porn, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
let's not forget that George got Marissa Tomei to semi fall in love with him at some point. Like, she wanted him to as a dating prospect.
What did she say? She's how could a man?
I've never
so
stocky and so bald to be single.
Doesn't he? He has a line again with somebody where he's just like, "My name is George. I'm unemployed.
I live with my parents."
He's like, "Okay, yeah."
That was the opposite episode. The idea was that his natural instincts were all wrong.
Right.
So if he's the opposite, they'd be right.
Everything works out.
So classic. All right, Andy, you have a little game you wanted to play.
You know, I feel like, my mindset was, let me test these guys on their Seinfeld trivia. Like, how much do they know? But they've proven themselves.
Already?
Throughout. Yeah, but you know, we're still going to play it.
Okay.
What about it? We can make it really interesting. What if it's head to head, Jacob and I?
But that's the idea. Yeah,
I'll get destroyed. Ivan, I will put my hand up and say Ivan definitely knows more references than me because he just watched the whole show from start to finish. So that is unfair.
Now, I had some like easy primer questions, but I think I'm going to skip all those and go right into the deep end because you guys know your shit, obviously. All right,
Do we have buzzes? Do we have to make a noise?
Oh, that's I wish we were at that level, but we're not. All right, let's have an easy one first. Semi-easy one. What is Kramer's first name?
Cosmo.
Yeah.
All right. Not too difficult.
Cosmo's Cosmic Connection, another classic game.
Yes.
This is a board game trivia, Ivan.
That's not a board game.
define what is a big salad.
It's got lettuce, it's got tomato, and it's in a big bowl.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Not quite there. The answer was, it's like a salad, only bigger, with lots of stuff in it.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
What is the definition of quone?
To quone something. It's a medical term.
Correct. Yes. That is correct.
If a patient needs to be restrained, you quone them.
Aren't we all in a state of quone right now? Is that what's going on?
Technically, yes. We are all on the global scale.
It's a mass quoning.
It is the quoning.
Finish this sentence. It's a festivus for
the rest of us.
There you go.
There it is.
All right. Finish this sentence.
We're going to have to do our feats of strength after this.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, that's happening. If it wasn't for this damn quarantine.
Poppy.
Seed.
Okay. Yeah, I see you went there.
What?
Poppy, rest.
So what was it? Was it?
Just finish the sentence. Question? Poppy. Just poppy and then finish the statement.
Poppy paid.
Correct. We would have taken Poppy's a little sloppy, also, in case you were wondering.
Yeah. I was thinking about the episode when Lane ate the poppy
seed
seeds.
Muffin. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'll take it. It's there. Good enough. What was on the cashmere sweater that George tried to give to Elaine?
A red dot.
Oh my God, you're insane. let's see. Oh. What's Uncle Leo's son's name?
Jeffrey. Cousin Jeffrey.
Oh my God.
Works in the parks department. He's got a horse face.
Oh my God.
Fuck you, Ivan.
Works for the parks department. Now
it does.
I think that this goes back to Bob Sacamano, Stephen. Will we ever see Cousin Jeffrey in this game?
Interesting.
Because he's another unseen character.
That's right.
Look, if we get like a $20 million budget, I'll consider it.
All right. This could be a hard one. If you guys know this one, it's like your peak knowledge of Seinfeld. Who was Susan's dad having an affair with?
He was having an affair with an author.
Okay.
Who wrote? George was reading it at the end of the episode, the book. I Googled it after I saw the episode. I was like, who is this guy? I'm peeking. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea, man.
Yeah, an affair with John Cheever.
John Cheever, the Cheever. Yeah, that's it. The Cheever letters.
The Cheever letters, yes. All right. There was an episode where both Kramer and Mickey were trying to fight over an STD for a commercial. Mm-hmm. What was the STD?
It wasn't a
gonorrhea.
Wasn't a commercial. It was for the doc. It was for the medical clinic.
Oh yeah, the medical thing. Yeah. But yes, it was gonorrhea.
I'm glad I knew that one.
Okay, wait, hold on. This might be the ultimate. If one of you knows this, then we're done. Whoever gets this, winner takes all at this moment, all right?
Okay.
What was the brand of the golf ball that Kramer shot into the whale's blowhole?
I know this one.
The brand.
I know.
I watched that episode recently.
Because Kramer says it at the end.
He does. And he cracks up, too, when he's saying it. He's actually... They're all cracking up at the table if you watch that episode. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
If you give up, I want a chance.
I don't know. I don't know my golf balls. Gotta say,
nah, I don't know.
Steven?
Titleist.
That's it.
Titleist.
And also on a more personal note, between both of you, who would lose the contest first? I'm just curious.
Oh. Depends
on
what.
Who has the
time
least
of
amount of self restraint?
Does it? We don't lose if we masturbate each other, do we?
Good question. Good question.
Or what if it's in the same room?
We'll have to get Jerry on the line with that one.
If you close your eyes while he's doing it, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
What does George want to name his firstborn son?
Oh, boy.
Seven.
Good one.
Good one. There you go.
Have you seen the recent...
Soda.
Have you seen the recent meme about it with Elon Musk? And it's like, they've got a screenshot of George going like, I want to name my... Sun, and it has like the name, fucked up name that Elon Musk.
It's like a bunch of letters and some
like emojis and stuff.
Right. Oh my god, what is wrong with that man? It's like a bunch of consonants he named his kid.
It might be Klingon, you never know.
I wonder if they're just trolling everyone. Like, it's just a joke for them. Like, they're just fucking around with people. Like, they're going to name him the child, like, a real name, and then they're just doing that to troll. Like, I reckon he's actually trolling, because now he's been really fucking weird on Twitter. I reckon he's fucking with people.
Yeah, I feel like when you have that kind of money, which I affectionately call fuck-off money, when you have that much money and you have everything, and now you have, you know, you got family, and, you, like, and now you're... I'm assuming he's quarantining, whatever. Like, what do you do for fun?
He's just doing heaps of drugs, like, with his girlfriend. Like,
he's got to have, like, an army of physicians. He's like, okay, we're going to try some hard shit tonight, guys. You got to keep me around, all right? That's all your job is. To
just keep me alive.
Grimes is physician. Like, he doesn't need to hire anyone. She's just, like, feeding him memes and anime. He's playing Deus Ex apparently and thinking he's the savior in Deus Ex.
All right, I got a few more for you guys here. What was the name of the gang that was based off of a U.S. president?
The Van Buren
boys.
You got it. What were the aliases or the names or identities that George and Jerry took up of that neo-Nazi group?
Ah, yeah, okay, that's good.
And who was who?
Murphy?
Who was Murphy?
George was Murphy.
And the other?
And the other was a made-up name. If you're Murphy, I'm... All right. Mick.
So Jerry was Murphy, and George was O'Brien.
O'Brien.
Oh man!
Do you know the Nazi girl in that episode? She reappeared later as the woman that wouldn't eat the pie.
Holy shit!
They double up a lot.
There's a bunch of girlfriends that come back. Like the girl from like season two or
but
something.
As recast, as different characters?
Yeah, they come back as a different person.
Oh, shit.
Is it like one of the famous actors that had a career, or was it just one of the...
No, they're just
no-name ones.
Yeah, and they're playing different characters. The woman who would talk like, you know what, Jerry? You know, like, sometimes Jerry...
With the accent, because she didn't like his job. And she was the cashier.
She comes back like five seasons later as a different character.
Was the first girlfriend he had Terry Thatcher, whatever her name is, Terry Hatcher? What the hell was her name?
She was the one with
the spectacular breasts.
The implant. Yeah.
Yes. So I have a bold idea. I'm not sure what other sitcoms you guys enjoy other than obviously Seinfeld. But if this if this takes off, and it's huge. You have to do a Frasier version of this.
Yes.
That is the next.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying, Frasier was like a huge one for people commenting and stuff. I think, what else is there?
I would do a nanny game.
Oh my God.
Nanny. Wow.
The nanny and do it in the style of the intro sequence.
In
that 50s kind of.
Oh, that would be terrifying. Oh my God.
What's the name of the boss again?
Mr. Sheffield.
Yeah.
Mr. Sheffield.
That's it. Niles and CC and.
I'd probably want to change like more obscure. I'd do like more obscure cartoons, like but it would be popular. It's popular. I'd love to do like a Metalocalypse.
That'd be a good one. Yeah.
A lot of the old school adults and stuff would be pretty good.
I think we talked about a BoJack game
BoJack, yeah.
But you do it set in the 90s as if it was based on Horsing Around. Because you want to go dank with the meta. Like this, the Seinfeld one is as if It was made in the 90s and we just found it.
So that's a good approach. Yeah, I like that.
If you're going to use that style, try to make it period. Yeah.
I actually made a Stranger Things one as well, like a mock-up for it ages ago.
Yeah.
And apparently the Duffer Brothers saw it and were like pumped to make a game. But then, yeah, they released like two okay games. And they
all there's three
they
now.
Didn't call me. Oh, there's three now.
Yeah.
What's they release the third
every,
one?
They release them every season. The third one is a 16-bit.
It's like the top-down isometric one.
And then
there's like the mobile game. What's the other one?
They're pretty much all the same. They're all the isometrics. They're 1, 2, and 3. They're all pretty much the same, but they up the graphics to, I think, 16-bit in 3. They were like 8-bit in 1 and 2.
Telltale was actually supposed to make a game. Yeah. There's some footage out there. It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But they got greedy and their company imploded.
Yeah, I don't even know if greed is the word. I think it's just gross mismanagement.
It's a combination.
Too much stuff on at once, I feel. Yeah.
Like, we could make like, 8 games, no problem. Right, guys? Yeah. And everybody's just literally on IV bit drips. Yeah, that's no problem. We could do that. Our engine doesn't run, but yeah, we could do that.
That's going to be these two. Like, they're going to find the success in this game. Like, we're doing Friends next. We're doing Frasier. We're doing Big Bang Theory.
And then we implied.
Three's Company.
Oh,
now
please.
That's a game.
Oh, we can do Hello, Hello. Or Faulty Towers.
Faulty Towers. That'd be good.
Right.
Bosom Buddies.
Hello, Hello. Mm-hmm.
Dad's Army.
Perfect Stranger.
Perfect Stranger would be good.
Golden Girls, actually. I'd love to do a Golden Girls.
Golden Girls would be peak. That's gold right there. The gays would love you.
This is true. This is and the retirees.
You're right.
So I don't mean to bring things down, but with this current whole like COVID-19 and this pandemic happening, has that kind of screwed up with your plans for what you've been doing with Seinfeld, or is it kind of just moving on?
We were ready to launch pretty much as soon as COVID happened. We decided to hold out for a couple of weeks just to wait and see
if the world imploded or not.
Yeah, we knew it wouldn't be really news if everyone's actually talking about real news. And then I think Animal Crossing came out and we realized there's like an appetite for
distraction.
Escapism. Escape. Yeah, happiness. Yeah. People like happiness. It's this new thing. So we decided to release it. And I think people, I haven't seen a single message mentioning COVID in any of the social media responses to the game. So I don't know. I don't think it's hurting it. In fact, it might be helping.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only mentions of it I've seen is like, this is what we need, Jerry, in this like terrible situation. Mate, let them make it.
It's
because we were kind of worried that at first people would be dismissive, like, this is what you're wasting your time on.
Yeah, we did get those messages.
Learning how to build weapons and protect yourself.
Honestly,
I already 3D printed a gun.
If you didn't put, like, if you mute that whole trailer, if you mute it and you show it to somebody, they're going to think this game is like a game, like it's out there, it's doing its thing, it's official, it's got its, you know, official seal on it. Like that's just, it's a pretty damn good quality that you
it's
have.
It's out there, like, baby, and it's loving every minute of it.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I did this before with The Simpsons. I made an intro to the show, me and another artist, and we put it online, and within a few days we had an email from the Simpsons producers, and they used it as a real intro. So like part of the strategy was to try to create a buzz.
Well, it's there. It's definitely there. So yeah. What's the roadmap for this? Like, is anything in a playable state, or is it just an animation at this point? I'm just curious.
I actually had a small playable demo of like the first like maybe 15 minutes of the game at one point. It's got old art in it now. Like, we've updated the art style a little bit from because initially it was just me, and then when Ivan came on board, we like redesigned it to be better. But Yeah, like we have the whole episode planned out. Like I have all the puzzles that need to be implemented, like all the art that needs to be made for it and stuff. Because, yeah, we were initially going to make the whole demo, like the whole game episode. But, yeah, then we just decided, like, this is so much work. Let's make
it trailer. Let's see if it's worth it initially.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what the reaction has been to this since you put it out there. But
oh, it's been huge.
If you Google it.
Huge, Jerry.
Philly voice, hype beast, Nerdist, PC gaming, PC gamer, IGN, VG247. Screen Rant, Eurogamer, Happy Mag, Beat Magazine, Gizmodo, Geek Spin, Comic Book. Those are all just the first page.
We're really lucky
with that.
Hollywood Reporter and other places.
We had Elijah Wood retweet it too.
Oh my god. Crap.
And I don't even know if you could really say, but like, has anyone official reached out to you? Like anybody from that world at all? Like you don't have to say who if you can't, but like anybody say what you guys got going on over here?
I mean, unfortunately we haven't. I mean, even just as a piece of fan art, I think this shows we love the show. So it would be awesome to hear from the original cast or Jerry or Larry, but unfortunately there hasn't been any communication whatsoever.
Yeah, no, they haven't even acknowledged it on Twitter or anything. but yeah, I said it like in the past, like, oh, like even if it just ended up with like Larry or Jerry, like having a sound bite of being like, this is absolute garbage, I'd be more than happy. But I also pitched an idea to the world as well that we could be used in a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode in one of the new seasons of us like hassling Larry into making the game for it. And it's just like us following him around LA trying to show him.
This is like a multi-purpose project then. It serves so many functions.
Yeah.
It can bring the world joy and annoy Larry David.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. It hits such a bone that us, I guess I consider myself a kid. I'm 33, but like us 30 to 40 year olds, it just hits that like that, just that little part of our brain. I don't know what it is, but just seeing those colors, seeing the set, seeing the faces, just seeing the costumes. Because you even nailed that, which is kind of absurd. Like Elaine's dress, like nobody dresses like that post 1996. Like nobody. But there she is with that stupid hairdo that she wore.
That's my favorite Elaine aesthetic. That's
that was one of her best looks.
The white socks, the long skirt, the blazer, the bag. Yeah, that's the Elaine that I later she got a bit more kind of slick and stylish, curly kind of hair and leather jackets. And I'm like, no, that's not the Elaine I fell in love with.
Will
she dance? Will she kick up dust?
Of course.
Well, she's yeah,
that's the maybe. Whole spin-off game, Dance Dance Revolution.
Yes. Oh God. So
there's gotta be a puffy shirt too. Never want to say this.
Oh, absolutely, puffy shirt. Puffy shirt's in there. Yeah, absolutely. a game of.
It's just like it's like Red Dead Redemption. Every morning you wake up and you've got to shave your chest.
Just get the symmetry right, otherwise. It goes all the way down.
It's like real time, like Animal Crossing. So like, you know, you shave it and like 24 hours pass in real life, it grows.
there was Risk that they played, right? Where they were carrying the board around, like taking pictures and everything. Oh my God.
You can actually in-game play a full game of Risk against Newman.
There it is. That's a whole episode.
Here's a final trivia question since you mentioned the Risk episode.
Okay.
What was Newman's last stronghold country that he had on the board?
Was it Poland? Because there was a guy that yells at them. No, Ukraine.
Yes.
Ukraine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You fucking nerd. Ukraine is not weak.
Oh, Siam is the gateway, as we always say in our house. Yes. Got to get Siam. Get Siam, and you're good to go. Siam is the favorite. All right, gentlemen, we will. What else can you tell us? Is there anything else you want to tell us about this thing? What we already discussed your roadmap. What led you to do this thing? What do you got for us? Anything? Any other interesting tidbits?
You know, keep sharing it, retweeting it. Tell your parents.
I got to tell my uncle. He's a big Seinfeld fan.
Tell your uncle.
If he hasn't seen it already.
Yeah, spread it around. You know, the more people sharing it, the more compelling an argument we have for us having an audience. You know, yeah.
If you know the Illuminati, it would be really great if you could pass that on to any billionaires, trillionaires. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones who can make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's gonna just by the nature of the passion you put into it, the detail you put into it, and the response it's getting, not just from fans but from quasi, you know, important people, I guess. I think it's gonna land on some desks that you want it to. At the very least,
they'll see the idea and do a really piss poor cash grab ripoff.
Just hire someone else.
That will be nowhere near as good as what we would have made.
I just can't imagine what a Jerry Seinfeld would think looking at it. Like because I feel like he could go one of two ways, he could go, what is this? Like, you just whatever, click, walk away. Or he could go, oh, this is great. You know, that's hysterical, looking at himself as an epic, you know, or a pixel character. Like, what do you think reaction would be?
I think he would look at it and say, what are these guys doing? Why do they make their own shit? Like, yeah. What's the deal with video games? They're not even a video. It's a console, not a video. I don't think he would like it, to be honest. I think he would think we're stepping on his creative toes and wants to leave that there. But you know,
I agree with you that it could go one of two ways. It's like a quantum theory of like Jerry Seinfeld. like he's gonna be like what Ivan has said, or he's just gonna be like, because he's kind of savvy, you know. Like, he made comedians and Kyle getting coffee. Like, yeah. It's not the most groundbreaking thing, but it's groundbreaking for TV to do. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's on Netflix, but it's like pretty alternative. Something that, you know, he's not just making another sitcom or something. Like, he did something differently, and he
did B movie. Come on, guys,
he did do B movie.
He did try to get into the animation.
He saw Woody Allen's Ants and said, I could do that.
And he did it.
He did it so hard.
Well, listen, if he says no to you guys, just say that the jerk store called and he was a bestseller.
That was my nickname where at my old job when I used to work at a computer store, and we were talking about Seinfeld, and I talked about how much I liked it, and then we talked about the jerk store episode, and my last name is Janerka. So the managers called me Jerkstore, and then everyone started calling me Jerkstore. And I didn't really care that much. Like, it wasn't an insult. Like, for some people thought it was an insult.
That was a badge of honor. I was like, I am the Jerkstore.
But the problem is, I'd be serving customers, and they'd be like, hey, Jerkstore, do you know where this computer is? And I'd be like, you can't just call me Jerkstore in front of customers that I'm serving. Like, they're going to think I'm, like, the asshole of the store, and they're getting a shit deal. Like...
Or that you sell porn in your spare time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, where I used to work, we used to sell to a lot of people who worked up in the mines. So they'll fly in, fly out to the mines in like rural WA. And a lot of them were just buying computers for porn. Like, they would just come up to you and just be straight up like, do you think I can watch porn on this one? And you'd be like, yeah, I guess. And then you sell them internet dongles for them. And then there was one time I shook a guy's hand and he's like, don't worry, I don't use this hand.
Oh, no.
Lord.
I was like, fuck me, man. And that wasn't like one off. That was like, I'd probably say 70%
that was like every Tuesday.
Guys, yeah. Before the mining boom crashed and then they had to sell their jet skis.
Do you think it was like, hey guys, I saw this really cool place. You can buy this thing called a computer, and it's got all the porn in the world you want. And like, they all were just like taking turns going to this giant electronics store that.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Some of the older guys definitely are coming down. Like, you can put this in your backpack, and you have porn everywhere you go.
You guys sell those porn boxes I've been hearing so much about.
Does this come with
the fastest
warranty?
Porn box?
Now, if I buy the warranty, does that cover all damages?
Spillages?
All different kinds.
Problem is, if you spill liquid on this, the button turns red. So I'm sorry if you get any of that on there.
Do you have a lube protection plan I can buy into?
Now, does it cover falling from a distance of about 3 to 4 feet? Because I have a swing in my bedroom. And it may or may not. Anyway.
If I slam it down shut in a hurry, my wife walks into the room and I break the screen. I'm covered for that.
I would probably give someone a new computer if they gave me that excuse. I'd be like, yeah, fair enough.
I closed the lid aggressively, sir. It was aggressive. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up here. I think that was great.
Just end up on the
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So tell our listeners, where can everybody follow the project? Where can everybody follow you guys, and how can they share everything?
First up, head over to SeinfeldGame.com. Read the pitch, see the video, share the video on Twitters. Jacob is on Jacob Janerka. Is that right, Jacob?
Yep.
And I'm Ivan R. Dixon on Twitter.
Awesome.
Last time we were on a podcast, I got it completely wrong. I was like, everyone go to Seinfeld.com. I'm like, no, SeinfeldAdventure.com.
Right.
No, SeinfeldGang.com. Fuck!
Is there a hyphen in there? Is it just one word? What do we got?
There's
going
an underscore.
Underscore.
Game.com. And I think we're both on Instagram as well. I'm just Ivan Reese Dixon, and Jacob is, you're just Jacob Janerka again, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm also an OnlyFans. You can see my butthole at 4K resolution.
Love it.
On your porn box.
Excellent.
On your porn box. Exclusive.
All right. Well, folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you, gentlemen, for hanging out with us. If you want to follow our show, you could do so at NDS Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. You could join our Facebook group at Facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. You could also like our page at Facebook.com/DualScreens.com. That's DOTCOM. Our theme song, Retro Chatter, is by Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio. Andrew Douglas does all of our cartoon art, and Matt Murray does all of our overlays and logo art. If you want to check out our other shows that we do right here on this very same channel, we have the Dual Screens Games Cast, which posts each and every Monday. That's a news show where Andy and I go over all of the gaming news that you need to know about and argue about who had the best and worst week out of all of the big companies out there in the world. And we do a bi-weekly show, a seasonal show called Dual Screens Versus, in which Andy and I debate various topics with guest moderators who give us points arbitrarily, and then we decide who's going to wear the dunce cap at the end of the episode. If you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please, if you have a dollar to spare, or three, or five, or ten, or whatever, head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast, and just $1 gets you into our VIP Discord channel and also gets you a bonus episode each and every month in which you vote the topic of this discussion. Andy?
Yes?
This was awesome. This was a great episode.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
This is a treat. I really enjoyed this a lot.
I just want to say, say goodbye.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me what?
No, it's a little...
Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
That if you must take it out... Always be mindful of shrinkage.
Mm-hmm.
Good tip.
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Where is it? Where's the outro? I don't know where it went. Okay, is it this one? No, that's the terrible one. No. Oh, God, now they're all just auto-playing. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you very much, everybody. We love you. thank you, Ivan. Thank you, Jacob. This was an absolute pleasure. Take it easy. And anytime you guys want to come back, maybe when you're later into development, please feel free to hit us up. We would love to.
Yeah, definitely.
Back
Thank you so much for inviting us on.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, it was great.
It was awesome. Appreciate great show. Bye-bye. Thank you, listeners. Bye. And as always, please be excellent to each other.